Blog Talk Radio.
Mine has been amazing. I have to share this. I was on babysitting duty today.
Really?
And I have
babysitting
duty. I was. Yes. And I at times I was wondering who is babysitting who, because my 2-year-old grandson is just so amazing. He's like, every time I do something, he's like, JJ, you're so silly. I'm the one that's supposed to tell you that. Oh, man. So, yes, it's nice to have you back. So, Mountain Man, what have you been up to?
Mountain Man has not been up to too much lately. I've had some surgeries here and there, but I'm back and alive and been surviving. The winter's kicking my butt.
Well, that's all you can do. I have to tell you, though, I don't know for those of you that know, actually, my show, I feel like I'm traveling. You know how, what is that, the morning show, they go all over the country, and Oprah does, too. So I'm actually broadcasting live from Pennsylvania today, the lovely city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, brotherly love. So I feel all special, like I'm traveling all over the place to do the show. But it's been, I have to admit, 2010, and we're going to talk about this, 2010 was one of those years where you couldn't make up your mind if you hated it or not. I mean, for me, I always try to be positive, and 2010 brought a lot of good things. I mean, it brought my grandson Tony into the picture, and then my other son is expecting a baby, and just a lot of cool things happened. But by the same token, oh my gosh, it was like everybody I know got sick, and just a couple close people close to me passed away, and it was like, oh, I can't wait for 2010 to be over. So I'm hoping 2011 is much better. It's looking up, though. It started a lot better than I hoped. So, yeah, I'm excited. And I'm going to have to say this real quick. Everybody in the chat room, hello, how are you? Betty, love you. Billy, welcome back. Bob, Gary P., nice to have you back. Guest 13282, welcome. Nice to have you. JJ, a pleasure as always. Martin, Mary. Music Man, newbie in the chat room. Hey, everybody say hi to Music Man. And
what's up?
Starlight, as usual. I have to say, I feel so special because our show is technically international today. And guests 13282 and 14289, welcome. I actually have people listening all the way in San Jose, Costa Rica, which is in Central America. So I'm going to switch over to Spanish for 2 seconds because I have to say hi to this person. Hola, Jeannie, ¿cómo estás? Espero que estés pasando bien. Mucha emoción de que me estén escuchando. Y Joyce, y Joycelyn, y Montserrat, y Jonathan, y Roberto. Saludos a todos. Mucho amor. So I was just saying hi to actually my sister and my nieces and my nephew. And, oh, y el bebé tan bello. Y la esposa de Jonathan. Mucho gusto. I also said hi to my sister has a grandbaby. And my nephew, Jonathan, to his wife. And, of course, my sister's awesome husband. So it's kind of exciting. I have people listening to me internationally. Ooh, I feel special. How cool is that?
Wow, international. Here we come.
Woo-hoo! Big time, baby. Big time. I have to share with you guys. I'm just so excited to have all these people in the chat room. I feel like so special right now. Andy! Hey, what's up, my buddy? I love Andy. Welcome, Andy. Andy is funny. We have one thing in common. He has a cat because he's a cat person, and his cat thinks he's human. Well, I have a dog that's kind of the same thing, and it's funny because his cat probably outweighs my dog, and it's ironic that they both have the same name. I think it's wicked funny. So we're going to have to do a write-up on Buddy the Cat for my blog, for the blog, Buddy's blog that he has. Okay, so those of you joining me, obviously you're on our website, but for those of you that are listening in other ways, you can join us in our chat room and on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled W-M-N. Come on in. You can listen to the show. You can get into the chat room and chat away, chat away. We have a full house, but somebody's got to get the party going in there. You're all kind of quiet, just sitting back, seeing what someone's going to do. Kind of like when you go to a party and
and come on,
kind of like when you
Let's
go to a party and the music starts and you're waiting for that one sucker to actually start dancing because you don't want to be the first one. So that's how it feels in the chat room.
I feel the same way because I'm like, what's up, broom? So somebody's got to start it up. Come on.
Oh, Andy, get the party started in there. I'm going to put you in charge of the chat room. Andy's got to get that party going in there. I have to say, I have a lot of stuff coming up this year that I'm excited about. And one of the things I wanted to mention was Carrie O'Donnell. If you guys are on Facebook, check her out, Carrie O'Donnell. And she's actually doing a movie called Oxytown, USA. Not to be confused with the independent movie that was made recently called Oxymorons. This is totally different.
Are you sure about
USA,
that?
Yes. yeah. Oxytown, USA is a poignant movie that's going to be made basically addressing the ugly side of addiction, you know, what people go through, the hard times they have to, and people don't realize how big of a deal the addiction of OxyContins are. They're on the rise. It's a nasty drug. I mean, it's great if you're in severe pain and there's a medical reason for you to get it, but unfortunately, it's very easy to get addicted to, and it's very easy to get. I mean, I know people say it's not, but it is. You can go down any shady part of town and score some oxys, no problem. So it's a cheap high, and it's a real problem. It's a real problem. So this is what Carrie O'Donnell's doing. She's making this movie. It's in the planning stages. And I have to say I have been absolutely honored of the fact that she invited me to be on the cast. So I will be starring in that movie. And
You're starring in an awful lot of movies.
Well, yeah, but see, the thing is, there's a difference, because I've been in a lot of movies, but I've been what's called breathable furniture, which means if you blink, you miss me, because you don't see me. And then a couple of movies that I was on the set a lot of the times, I wind up on the cutting room floor. Yeah, I hit the floor hard on that one.
No,
really? You know, I haven't had that moment where, okay, you see me, there I am, and you don't have to, like, squint to see me. You know that's me. So I haven't had that yet. But that's what this opportunity does. I'm really excited just because of the theme of it and everything that's going on with it. And just the fact that I'm actually going to have a role I can stick my teeth into. I do have a role that I'm working on in Maine with Unicovia Films with my big man Z over there. He actually just finished up a short he did called Little Goddesses. You can check him out on Unicovia Films. He's got a website up on Ning that you can check him out on. And Rampant Lion is another website that he has that you can check him on as well and get information on that. So we're going to be doing the movie. We're going to start filming up again in the spring. And that's a great movie. Has a lot of hand-to-hand combat. It has a lot of horseback riding and a lot of action. It's going to be really cool.
I'm really excited
about it because it's a big thing for me because it's going to finally give me an opportunity to show people that I can act. Either that or I'm going to realize I'm not that good and just hang it up.
You hang it up? No, I don't see you hanging it up anytime soon.
I know. Hey, infamous angel girl, what's up? Welcome to the chat room. Nice of you to stop by. Oh, thank you. She says we're doing a great job. I'm so excited. You know what's funny? I actually got the opportunity to work on a show as Breathable Furniture a couple of months ago. They're doing a show in Rhode Island. I traveled down to Rhode Island for that. And it is called, hold on, I have to think, because originally they called it one thing and then they moved it to another. Body of Evidence is the name of the show. I don't even know if they started showing it yet because I've been out of it. But anyway, it was really cool because if anybody knows Dana Delaney, she was on Desperate Housewives and she's been on a couple other good shows. I got to see her up front. Also, the girl that was on Shark, Jerry, I can't think of her last name, but her first name is Jerry. Real tall, beautiful lady. So I got to see them up close too. It was wonderful to see these people, just to see how they work, just to see their style. But the thing that got me was Dana Delaney blew my mind because I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, oh, she's got to be close to my age. Not even close. This lady is at least 10 years older than me. She looks phenomenal, like amazing. Like you see her up close and she's just, you know, got her stuff together and I just liked working with her. Just a really nice lady. So, yeah, those are some of the things we got upcoming. And Infamous Angel, where's your show, my radio show at? Right now, I am broadcasting live from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I happen to be traveling. And the cool thing about my show is my show can come with me. So I take it where I am, and here I am. I'm doing a show out of Philadelphia. So I'm kind of excited at that. We've broadcasted out of Florida.
Thank you.
Yes.
Lowell, Massachusetts,
here. Yes. Mountain Man, Lowell Tower, Mill City in the building, which we're very proud. If you guys have not seen the movie The Fighter, you have to check it out. Especially guys in Costa Rica. Cuando llega la película, El Fighter, tienen que verla. Bien, ese es mi pueblo. That's my hometown, I'm telling them. That's my hometown of Lowell. You can see, ven las calles donde yo vivo, y mis vecinos y mucha gente que yo conozco. So I was telling them that they'll get the opportunity to see some of my streets where I roam the area, and some of my neighbors were actually in the movie. I thought it was so cool. As a matter of fact, you know what's really cool? You can see my house from there.
Really?
Yeah, there's one segment that I'm all excited because I'm like, that's my house. It's the corner of my house. Because actually my house was on the set for 3 weeks. You know how when you're an actor, you say, oh, I could live on the set. Well, I literally did live on the set. I had to show an ID every time to get on set because they didn't want to let me in. They thought I was trying to get up on Mark Wahlberg. I have to admit, I was one of those. I had a big crush on Marky Mark back in the day.
Okay, we got a lot of questions coming in on our chat room here.
How long did it take for us to get the radio show together? Oh, geez, we're going on a year now, a year and a couple of months. We actually started the show back in September of 2009, if you can believe it, and then we went straight through, and then we took a hiatus back
Big
in
hiatus.
March. Yes, we took a six, 7 month hiatus back in March because I was just traveling too much and we wanted to regroup the show. But the amazing thing that gets me is you guys rock because even though the show hasn't been on live, you guys are still listening. Like, our numbers are still going up. We're still getting emails. We're getting questions. We're being asked, when is the show coming back on? Guys, you really make me feel special because that's something that, honestly, I never expected. Like, you know, Mountain Man can tell you, we started the show as a fluke. Like, yeah, let's, you know, get this going and see what happens. And wow,
yeah, well,
you guys have humbled us.
We talked about it for a while.
As usual.
yeah, we're always talking about stuff here and there. But
yeah.
I have to say that we Charlie and I have been, we were talking about it for a while, and she was telling me that she was going to start up a show, and she's like, I want you on it. I want you helping me out on it. So
no, I didn't ask
did that
him. I
back
told
in,
him. September.
Yeah.
No, I didn't ask you. I told you. You're going to be my co-host. Pretty much. I said, no.
Yep.
Yeah, so, no. It's not an option. Yeah, you're right. You're done. You're my co-host.
So, Yeah, so it's been an awesome time.
It is. It's been amazing. Also, for everybody that's out there, if you're interested in calling us, please, because I feel so lonely in my chat room and in my studio, if you guys don't call me. Where the heck? Oh, there it is. I lost the number. Okay, the guest call-in number, 1-347-989-1473. 1-347-989-1473. That's our call-in line. If you want to call, say, hey, what's up, chat? You know, feel free to call me. Say, hey, what's going on? Ask me a question. We also have a mini contest going on, if you guys have been listening. The question of the night is, what is Mountain Man's favorite food? What is Mountain Man's favorite food? We talked about it a while back on the show. I don't know if you guys were listening or not or paying attention. So if you can tell me, or actually tell Mountain Man what his favorite food is, you will win a 15-minute segment on our show, which means for those 15 minutes, you can talk about whatever you want, as long as it's radio-friendly. If you have music that belongs to you or music from someone that you know, you're more than welcome to play it. And basically, you will be bumping us out of the hosting position, and you will host your own show for 15 minutes. I think it's a way to get you guys to get your feet wet, pick up the phone, call us, call me, kind of thing. So, yes. So for the next hour and 15 minutes, what is Mountain Man's favorite food? If you want, you can call it in. If not, then you can email me, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com, or you can just throw it in that chat room, get that chat room going. So Mountain Man, real quick.
I'd love to see who the first person is that makes a mention in our chat room, because I want to see if that first person is right. So I am giving that first person a big challenge and to guess what my favorite food is.
That's right.
And you and I are the only ones on the list right now.
Yes, and I have a question in the chat room. Infamous Angel, we are here every Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And in March, we will be expanding to twice a week. Twice a week, we will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or we will move it to Mondays and Wednesdays, depending on how the schedule goes. So, yes, we will be on here every Thursday, 7 to 9. What better thing to do? You know, Thursday is that, I'm getting paid tomorrow. Some guys actually get paid on Thursday. So, hey, come on down, get a pizza, grab a Coke, sit down and join us, because I think we're kind of fun, don't you?
Yeah, I do, and so the first person
who... I'm so excited. Yeah,
I'm always excited.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, I'm fun. Yeah. Andy,
gee, I wonder what that
food is. Broccoli. No broccoli. I personally
love
broccoli,
Andy.
By the way. Hey, guest 15201-15152. Welcome. And guest 13282 in the building. Hello. I want to take a little break right here. I want to play a song because...
Oh, you do, do you?
Yes, and there's a special reason for me wanting to play the song. As I've mentioned, my sister and her family are listening all the way from Central America, which I'm very excited about. So I want to play this song because they actually... real close with my son, Eric. They call him Fabian. And this song was something that Fabiani wrote for his son when he was born, and it's called Baby Boy. So I want to explain in Spanish. Esta canción fue escrita por Fabiani cuando tuvo su primer hijo, y quiero que lo escuchen. So this song I want to play just because I really want them to hear it. So the song is Baby Boy by Sacrifice, and the beat was by Surefire, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time, I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things, I could tell you gon' rise, because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe, because you smile so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a big
bigger plans. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, and your mom. We're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
Day I changed, the day I claimed, the best day to clear my reign. I used to be filled with just anger and pride. Now it's just pride for you, no more anger inside. Between you and your mom, I learned the meaning of love, the needing of hugs. Above, I see the meaning of dove. Oh yes, I'll protect you and guide you from harm. And nothing's better than the feelings when I hold you in my arms. When times are hard and the clouds are gray, I see you smile and realize life will be okay. Before you, it was just me and all that time, but now it's us, so trust, everything's just fine. My little prince, it's the king and I. Sing with pride, spread your little wings and fly. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, your mom, and we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
When you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there. Because of you, man, I'm reaching the best. I feel the love and the warmth, you fall asleep on my chest. Feel the pattern when you breathe, the scent of your hair. As I kiss your little forehead, you know I'm right there. And I'll never leave your side, I'm here forever. Teach you to be a man through the stormy weather. Anything that you need, I'm here for you. Clear and true, in the physical, my spirit too. With my son, it stays fun, a passionate joy. You make me laugh when you splash in the bath with your toys. When your mom tries to feed you, you spit out your food. Look at her and start laughing, little things that you do. When I see you, I see me, we're one and the same. You're my child, my first son, I gave you my name. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, your mom, and we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
And we're back. What was that? What happened? What happened now, man?
I don't know. You tell me what happened.
Hi, Amy.
You tell me
Amy
what
Loughlin.
Happened.
Here. Hold on. Stop the presses. Amy is in the chat room. For those of you that
Amy.
Have not had the opportunity, Amy, oh my gosh. For those of you that have not had the opportunity to hear this woman, can this woman sing? I got the pleasure of hearing her sing at the Hard Rock Cafe at the Deborah Crosby Talent Quest. Holy cow, she blew the roof off that building. Amazing, amazing. I just love her. Look her up on Facebook, Amy Moquin, and yeah, hit her up, man. She's a busy lady and she can sing her butt off. So I'm gonna get you some of. I need to get some of her music in here to, for you guys to listen. Hey, I think we have a caller.
I think we do too. Let me see.
Mountain Man does the switchboard because every time I try.
Welcome to
I
the Diamond on the Rough show.
Yes,
this
hello.
Is Mountain Man.
Good evening.
Yellow. Good evening.
This is Roderick Wilmore.
Roderick, how
my
you doing?
Man. Hey, baby. What's up? Happy New Year. How's it going?
Oh, great. Happy New Year to you.
How, was Santa Claus good to you this year?
Yes, he was. I had a chance to do a little traveling with my kid down to see my family in Virginia. That
awesome.
Was the best present ever.
That's awesome. For my listeners, I remember Roderick was on our show about a year ago, I think, roughly about a year ago, and he is this amazing talent, actor, singer, dancer, extraordinaire, all these cool things he does. And Roderick, what projects have you been up to lately?
Oh, this past year, I was just kind of like just reviewing some of the things I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my goodness, there's looks like I've been a part of like 13 different things over 2010. And
it seems
has been
like
a busy year.
I mean, yeah, to see some of the stuff you've done, actually, weren't you actually overlapping some projects at a time there?
Yeah, it was happening like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to ask this question because I've never done this, and I've always been curious about this. As an actor, when you're working on more than one project simultaneously, how do you keep the script straight, and how do you memorize lines like that?
Well, it's more a matter of just picturing what you're doing and not so much worried about the words, but I end up doing both. I study the words as well as I try to visualize the words so I can, like, basically just read them out of my mind. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of like how I do it. So I can actually just
wow.
basically take a picture with my mind and just basically read through it in my head.
Well, my camera in my mind's been out of film for years, so that doesn't
Oh, Roderick, I hear you, man. I hear you.
That is amazing to do that because it just, I don't know, Eric Eastman was another one that blew my mind because he was in three projects simultaneously where he was doing a film, a short film, and a play. And the three characters were totally diverse, like, you know, total opposites. And he... It just blew my mind. How do you? And then on top of that, he was working as an extra on Grown Ups as well. So he was practicing lines, and I got to practice lines with him. I was like, really? How do you do that? I would have it all confused. You know, like I'll blurt a line from one movie and has nothing to do with the play I'm in. It just amazes me how you guys do that. What else have you done, Roger? Do you do a lot of plays this 2010?
Well, I did like four plays this year. I was
mm-hmm.
An assistant stage manager on one, the Dixie Swim Club, and I did three other plays that I actually performed in,
mm-hmm.
An August Wilson piece, a small short play, and then the last play I did was A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Love that play. Absolutely love that play.
Phenomenal.
Loved that. Oh, I love it. I actually got the opportunity to see it done at the Malden Playhouse years ago. I don't
okay.
even know if they're still around. Put a production
mm-hmm.
on it. It was awesome. I loved it. And it's a hard
it's
play
a
to do from
experience.
What I've done.
It's a challenging experience.
You think? Now, I want you guys, I want you to refresh the memory of some of our listeners because we have some new people that have joined us since the last time. You said something that totally blew my mind, because I've heard you sing. Now, you mentioned that. When did you start singing?
Oh, my goodness. I think it was in the 80s when I got started singing.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the military, and I started singing what they call cantatas. At Easter time,
mm-hmm.
they have like a series of songs,
right.
a song for the occasion, and it's called a cantata. So I basically
right.
started out that way. And that was just a one-time event. You do it, and I was basically done with it. Then once I got back, and this was in Alaska, actually. And when
Alaska.
I got stateside again. Yes, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Adak, Alaska. And when
Ooh,
I got stateside, I...
you wind up in Alaska? Oh, man. Anyway, go ahead. So you started with the cantatas.
Yeah, I did two of those.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of got me got me interested in singing, because it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed singing, and I seemed like I had something in there besides just holding keys. I could actually stay on key without doing too bad. So it kind of got me started. Then I joined the choir once I got to Massachusetts.
Right.
And I heard the choir singing, and I was like, you know, I want to do that.
I'm
wow.
telling you, it blows my mind because I do choir, but I harmonize. I can't sing by myself. If I don't have someone that's really good next to me, forget it. I need someone to pitch off of. And it's just so difficult to do. And then here you are like, okay, I think I'm going to sing. Are you serious? It's like, wow, it's so amazing to me that you did that. And then you started...
Thank you.
Yeah, and then you started doing acting, and I mean, and you've been in some challenging roles. What are some of the roles that you've done?
Well, this year, I guess the most significant one was an August Wilson play, called Jim of the Ocean, mm-hmm. and I was Citizen Barlow in that particular production.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I had, of course, I had little personal goals. I had done so many musicals, and I wanted to kind of like balance it out, so to speak. This is just a numbers thing. I had more musicals than plays, so I had to get, personally, I had to get into some plays so I can kind of like even the numbers out. So that's how I got into so many plays this past year.
Really?
That, Citizen Barlow was a challenge, but it was something that gave me a lot of confidence in performing. And never mind, it pushed my envelope to in my acting as well, because I had to literally cry to perform certain parts of the play. So I had to, you know, force myself emotionally to just bring that out so I could, you know, show the right emotion for that particular section of the play.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, bringing it to tears was a challenge, but I managed to do it.
See, that's something that's challenging to me, because I know, and the other thing that was challenging that I guess people don't realize, see, like when you make a movie, you own that character for whatever amount of time, you create the story, and then, you know, you have your time to kind of let it go. When you're in a play, if you do it over and over and over again over a length of time, I have to say that it's very hard to let go of the character. And you become attached to it, especially if it's a character that has a lot of substance to it. And
yeah, that's
I wanna
true.
Ask you, yeah, so I want to ask you, because a friend of mine said this to me, and I never understood the concept. You can either use that for your advantage to help you create emotions when you create other characters, or can that actually be a downside to acting?
You learn from it, and, you know, the thing about that with a play as opposed to a film, you're always making decisions about how to deliver your particular character. And, you know, since you're running it, you know, whatever number of shows you're performing, you consider how should you best deliver that character. You know, you're so that becomes so much a part of you that you're not thinking so much of the words anymore. You just think about being that person. And you bring it that way, and never mind your interaction with the other characters. That chemistry that you get is just phenomenal. It just that's you now. It's not so much someone you're performing. That becomes you.
That is so true.
You understand it so well.
It is. It's very true, because I have to say, the first time I was in a play, because that was something I was told, if you're serious about being an actress or an actor, you have to do live theater, because that's when you're going to find out what you're really made of. And I... Yeah, and I Acting Out is a small acting company in Lawrence, and I was blessed, Linda Schumacher, amazing lady, I was blessed to audition for her, and I got cast as Mrs. Donner in Flowers for Algernon. For those of you that are familiar with the play, it's a tearjerker. It is. But for me, the learning aspect was to see the other actors, because these are actors that have huge amounts of dialogue. Like, I was overwhelmed with my part, and it wasn't a big part. The main characters had tons and tons of dialogue. They had a lot of monologues. And for me to see the process where they were just on book, which means reading right out of the book, and then slowly trying to memorize it, and then I see the transformation where, okay, now they know it, now they're creating characters. And then to see the final product, and I'm saying from opening night to final night, totally different. It just blew my mind to see this, and I wind up actually falling in love with the main character, not the actor. I love the actor as a person, but the character he created, I literally wanted to take him home, because it was just so amazing to me how he made me care for that person. And that's something that is such a gift, to be able to do it. It just blows my mind how you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Broderick, hold on one quick second. Mountman, we have a bazillion questions here. Okay, I have
we
a guess.
We got a ton of them coming in.
Yes. I have a guess for your favorite food. Is it French fries?
And I said, close but no cigars.
Oh, it's not French fries. Is it something fried?
No, it has nothing to do with fries at all. Sorry,
okay,
Roger.
Okay, so it doesn't have potatoes and it's not deep fried.
Nope.
Okay, I have another one.
Or
how about
baked.
Yes, okay, so I have two more with potatoes. I have mashed potatoes or loaded baked potatoes.
Nope, sorry.
This is too funny.
Well, no potatoes in it at all?
No potatoes at all. Sorry, guys. Roderick, what we're doing tonight is we're trying to guess what my favorite food is, and that's what
okay.
our little chat
yeah,
room.
Yeah, and whoever right, and yeah, and whoever guesses it, they get a 15-minute segment on our show where they're the host and they can do whatever they want on that 15-minute segment.
Oh my goodness!
Segment. Yeah, so we're trying to see who can
so
do
that's
it. And
what
it's
our
like,
little...
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, and I don't know why everybody kept saying potatoes, because I really thought it was potatoes. For some reason, I don't know why. I kept thinking it was French fries, too.
Nope, sorry, guys, sorry. But
no,
you guys can also try to call in and get the question on the air, too, by calling the call-in number as well.
Yes.
So
the call-in number is 1-347-989-1473. And with the nifty technology we have nowadays, you can listen to us on the go. If you have Android on your phone or iPod or just blanked out, an iPhone, you can go to the mobile website for Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, and you can actually listen to our show on your phone. Yes, you can listen to us live as well, or you can actually download after the fact your podcast and listen that way. You can listen to
That's
us
great.
Online. If you aren't around when we have our regular show, then you can listen to the past shows. They are on the website, on the segment page, and you can find them, download them, listen, do whatever you want with them, and knock yourself out. Okay, so I have another cool question, and Roderick, I have you. Maybe you can offer some advice. And anybody out there, do you know the answer
okay.
to the question? Feel free to call. I have a young lady in the chat room. She says she writes a lot of poetry, and she wants to know, is there a way to be able to put poetry to music?
Yeah, there is, that's one of my challenges right now. I do like writing poetry, but getting it to the point in it, there's a type of formatting or beats that you want to have, and this is what I'm feeling, that is necessary to tell a story. And you want it to have a certain rhythm about it, because most songs do have rhythms, as you already know, but just writing your poetry in that type of format is really the challenge. That's the part I'm trying to figure out now myself. I like writing, but I certainly would like to write for songs as well.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I know for a fact that back in the 60s, not that I listened to music in the 60s because I was a little kid back then. I didn't know any better. But I remember my sister telling me, actually it was my mom, she told me that a lot of poems, actually a lot of the older songs were originally poems that were adapted and turned into songs. Like, for example, there's a very famous song that was famous in the 50s and 60s, and it actually got converted to a international song. It was actually done in Spanish, Portuguese, Italian. It was called The Last Kiss. And that originally started as a poem.
You know, a lot of songs nowadays, I guess, doesn't have as many words, per se. You know, it's a lot more chorus stuff, and, you know, got a few lines of, your verses, per se. And then you get into your chorus, you know, but it's simpler in content compared to how it was like in the 60s or 70s. There were a lot more words involved, so it's different. So I would suspect it's easier now, but, you know, my mindset is from the older way that songs were written. So I've got to, you know, refresh myself and get current per se.
It's true, too, because, like, one of the famous songs that I love is also The Day the Music Died. That was another one that was, if you read it, it reads like a poem. And it also has the record for being the longest song written, I mean recorded, because it's really long.
Recorded,
But, again, it started as a poem. And Andy was saying that the National Anthem, if he remembers correctly, was also originally a poem that was converted to music. So it's all a matter of, usually with poems, and the thing is, for those of you, hello.
Yep.
Hello.
Sorry, I just dropped my microphone. I'm so good at doing that.
Oh, it's good to have a little backup person.
I swear to goodness. Now, one of the things that I found out was that when you look at rap music, and I'm not talking about, you know, gangster rap or, you know, I'm talking about rap in general. If you look at it, there is a lot of poetry involved. If you look at it,
absolutely.
There's natural rhythm to it as it goes along. So that in itself is a way that poetry has been adapted to music, which is where originally where rap came from.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
So for my person in my chat room, Infamous Angel, you know, it's something that if you, even if you email me some of your poems, as long as you make sure you put your name on them and it's not, you know, something we're going to take from you, we definitely won't. I will make sure I have a couple of people look at it and they can give you some suggestions, because I do know a couple of people that write beats, which is tracks, musical tracks, so they can look at it and give you some ideas and some suggestions on, you know, how you can do that. Oh, my goodness.
I think I'll do that.
Yeah. Roderick, you were saying?
Yeah, I think I'll do that as far as, because I've got some poems written that I wonder if they would be good for song.
Definitely do that, because like I said, for example, I have Brady over at Surefire Studios. Shout out to Surefire in Lowell, and they also have a satellite in Maine. They're phenomenal when it comes to that. Like, they create tracks, and it's funny because they do it both ways. I've seen cases where, like, for example, my boys are in the music industry, so I've seen cases where the boys would actually have something already written, and he actually can find a beat for them, and vice versa, where he will have them listen to tracks, and then all of a sudden this song starts forming in their heads, and they write the lyrics to the song. So it can go either way. So it's something that, definitely do that. I would love to do that. Guest 16669, welcome. How are you? Glad that you could stop by. I got to give another shout-out. Amy Moklin, thank you so much. I know you're like a dynamo lady. I love this lady because, one, she can sing her butt off. Too, she's just kick butt. She doesn't take crap from anybody, which I love. I love her attitude. You guys have seen her perform. Oh, this girl had attitude like you would not believe. She's like, this stage is mine. Take it or leave it. It was awesome. And also, she's a baseball fan, so how can you go wrong? She got the trifecta right there in my book. Amy's in the building. Andy, my buddy, Andy and I were in the guard together. Great times, great times. Betty, Billy, Bob, Gary, yes, 13282-16727, Infamous Angel, JJ, as always, Martin, Mary. Oh, my goodness, I am so psyched at how full this room is. I don't even have, hey, who else we got in there? We've got Martin, Mary, Music Man, hey, how you doing, and Starlight. She's hungry now. She's like, I'm hungry. We got skins with bacon and chives. I think Amy's craving potatoes.
What is this?
There's a common strain in all her answers, and it all has to do with potatoes.
What is
potatoes.
This, Amy? No potatoes.
Andy,
for the
pierogies.
Answer.
I love pierogies. Is it pierogies?
I don't even know what pierogies are.
You don't? Oh, my gosh. You're so deprived. They're like yummy things with, like, meat in them. Oh, yum, yum. It's Polish, but it's delicious. Oh, man. Stop everybody real quick right there. Do what you're doing. Guest call-in number 1-347-989-1473. If you have any events coming up that you'd like to share with our listeners, give us a call. If you want to say, hey, what's going on, give us a call. If you're lonely and would like some advice in your romance, no, I'm just kidding. Well, no, if you want advice, call us. I don't know if we're going to have any good advice for you, but you can always call us. Just don't cry on the phone. Man doesn't do tears well.
No. No teary comments here.
Oh, man. So, yes, 1-347-989-1473 is our call-in number. And the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. And the good thing about the website is that you can actually pick the little player out, and you don't have to actually be on the website. all the time. You can just have the little player right next to you. Or you go to my blog, www.ordinarywomanwmn.com. The player is on there as well. You just click the little button, and bam, there we are. You can hear us in all our glory. I want to hear a song. I think I do.
Well, I'd like to give Roderick a chance to try to guess
your favorite food. Roderick, what do you think your favorite food is?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. It's probably something simple like a pizza or something, I'm guessing.
Nope. Sorry, Roderick.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, see, Andy says it has to be of Irish ancestry, and he wants to know if it's Finnish quiche.
No. Sorry, Andy.
I love quiche. Oh, my. See, now I'm getting hungry.
Oh, my goodness. Now you got me thinking about foods, like maybe even a calzone by chance.
Calzones. Oh,
nope.
My gosh. Those are so good.
It has nothing to do with mashed potatoes or any pizza products.
Okay, so it's not pizza.
No pizza products.
No potato products.
No potato,
no
pizza.
Products. No pizza, no calzones. But
can I ask a question?
Yes, ask a question. I was going to say, we're going to have to do the 20 question thing because he's so tough.
What time of day do you usually eat this favorite food?
Yes.
It's when I have enough funds to be able to get the food.
Oh,
and it's not
that's
a food
clue.
That I get all the time.
That's a good clue. So we're going to have to think about that. While you guys are thinking about that, Andy, at this point, I'm just throwing out any weird food I can think of. You know, it's not cool when you think the food is weird, and I happen to like what you're throwing out there. Not cool.
It is a food.
See, I know I'm weird, but dang, it's like, what the heck? So anyway, our call-in number, 1-347-989-1473, and on that I'm going to go play a song from my man, Papa Soul Nosek here out of Chicago. I hope he's listening. So I'm here in the house. I love this song from him, so I'm going to play this. And also for you guys, if you know of any up-and-coming artists, hint, hint, Amy, that have radio-friendly music that they want to get into a regular rotation on our show and they wouldn't mind sharing with us, please have them send me their bio, a link to one of their pictures, and MP3s, because that's the only format we can accept. I have some that have been sent in MP4s, and unfortunately, I cannot play that. It has to be an MP3 format. So you can email me those, and you can email me more than one. So if you happen to have three or four, just send me three or four individual emails. I don't have a problem with that. Give me the name of the song, who wrote it, who performs it, and anybody else that should be getting credit on it, and we will definitely put it on our regular rotation. And the one thing about us on this show, we do not discriminate. We want all kinds of music, all kinds of music. We do want to keep it radio friendly because 7 to 9 is still considered kind of family time, and we don't want any, you know, F-bombs being dropped. We try to keep it clean. So, yes, or if you have some song that's a little edgier, as long as it's the edited version, you're more than welcome to send it to me, and we will definitely play it. So, Amy, you and your buffalo chicken wings. Oh, my God, those are so freaking good.
No buffalo wings. No, sorry.
You're getting me hungry now.
No, I have to tell you.
No, they're getting me hungry, Roderick.
No, it's funny, Roderick, as you guys know, I'm actually broadcasting live from the city of Brotherly Love, and I have to share this. It's so freaking
funny. Oh, really?
Yes, I'm out here for the next week and a half, so I'm broadcasting live from Philly. And there is a restaurant, and it's funny, Mountain Man and I have a running joke. We keep advertising for companies that are probably going to say, people, we don't want you advertising for us. You know, it's all cool. The restaurant is called The Ugly Moose.
Okay.
That's the name of the restaurant, The Ugly Moose.
Ugly Moose?
Ugly Moose is the name of the restaurant.
I was going to ask the same thing.
That's what I said. I mean, I saw the sign and I thought maybe it was like a quirky club or whatever. Well, I found out it's a restaurant. And my son is addicted to their buffalo chicken wings. Like one day he literally was at work and the only thing he could think about was their buffalo chicken wings. And it was so funny because he came home with this huge package of buffalo wings. And literally
he could
tell.
Be good.
Yes. And you could tell he was being polite by saying, "Would you like one?" And I had a feeling that if I stuck my hand in there, he was going to bite it. I'd back up off my buffalo wings.
Wow.
Oh, but
what are we
going to
do with
huh?
you there?
Yeah, I know. At least he was nice enough to offer. So, yeah, the Ugly Moose, if you're ever in, it's called Manayunk, is the area that it's in Philly. If you're ever down there, they're down on, I think, going towards Ridge Avenue in the area.
I'm going to check
Moose.
That out.
Yeah, the Ugly Moose. So let's hold that thought. Let's play our song, Roderick. Do not go anywhere. I have some questions for you. So we're going to play the song by my man, Papa Soul.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wait.
What the heck?
Sorry. Wrong file. Nope. Okay, you know what? Let's scratch that. Yeah, see? You can tell we're rusty, right? Now scratch that. What we're going to do is actually I wanted to hear Papa Soul, but he's not coming up on my queue. So we're actually going to listen to Jenna because I actually had a request for this song. Might as well do it
Papa
now.
Soul? Hold on. You want to hear Papa Soul?
No, it's not coming up in the queue. That's actually, this is so funny. That's actually the interview we did with him. I don't know why it's coming up on the queue. I swear, people, we are trained professionals. We really are. We don't look like it or sound like it, but we are. let's play Jenna's song. See, guys, I got to get new songs on here. I only have the ones that are requested a lot. That I want to get more into the rotation. Come on, get me going. I want to get jumping around. So I have an actual request for this song. It's called Picture Perfect by Jenna Donovan. It's one of the favorites. Everybody keeps asking for it. The music was done by Ellie Fresh, and it was produced by Ellie Fresh and performed by Jenna Donovan. So for enjoyment, Picture Perfect by Jenna Donovan.
Can we get some more makeup on her?
I don't think I need to suck it in.
Don't worry about it, we'll Photoshop it out.
But I don't want you to Photoshop it out. This is me.
Different girls, same face. Page after page.
Pictures on
No, it's nice.
That is, I don't, that is Jenna
That
Donovan.
Is one cool song.
Yeah, Picture Perfect. And it's funny because she's such a genuine kid. Like at the end when she goes, wow, I don't even make it. That is so her. That is like just so her. Like back off, leave me alone. Miss Addison, love it. Roderick, I have a question. Oh, wait, real quick.
Sure.
Call number 1-347-989-1473. So wherever you are, call me. And real quick, shout out to my people in Central America. Roberto, mucho gusto. Alegre de que nos esté escuchando desde Massachusetts. No, sinceramente desde Philadelphia, desde los Estados Unidos. Estamos mandando saludos. Just sending a shout out to my brother-in-law, Roberto, who just tuned in Central America. Excited that he's listening. Kind of cool. I'm like international. Going to be like Oprah. See, that was my dream. I'm going to be like, when Oprah retires, I want to be her replacement.
Look at you. Awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? But she doesn't know it yet. See, the thing is, we're real tight. She just doesn't know it yet. Like, you know, like tight like her and Yale. Well, we're tight too, but she's like, who? You know me, we're tight, right? Anyway.
There you go.
Roderick.
Yeah.
Real quick, okay, we have egg rolls, we have nachos, we have, Andy's got a rumbly in his tumbly. I love it.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, that is too funny. Yeah, so
but
we're
you got the
to
answer, right,
out...
Charlie?
Huh?
You got the answer to the question, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. This is tricky because it's like he said, it's something that, you know, he kind of splurges on when he can, and he's trying to figure out a clue without giving it away, so we'll have to give it. But just to let all the listeners know, if you can guess what Mountain Man's favorite food is, we will give you, you will win a 15-minute segment on our show where you will be the host. You can play the music that you want that is radio-friendly. You can interview who you want, or you can just gab and aimlessly like we do 15 minutes. We can interview whoever you want. And, yeah, that is the prize, 15 minutes of your own on the show. So see if we can get those answers coming in. Ah, Amy said she just ordered takeout. She goes, thanks. She goes, my God.
Oh, that's a quick one. Oh. If you go takeout.
Oh, man. Goodness.
Oh, Amy, I'm sorry.
Sorry,
I don't want
Amy.
To do this
sorry, so sorry.
I know. Oh, man. So, Roderick, question. For people that are interested in getting into the industry, what do you say the tips you have for them?
Well, I would suggest being on stage. It's it's really where you discover the challenging part of acting is never mind the presence of a live audience, performing on a regular basis. It's more involved as far as time, you know. So you really have to give a commitment to it, and you know, never mind, you know, memorizing your words, be it for song or for words, you know, for a play. That's where the acid test is. You know, if you can deal with that, then, you know, and still enjoy it, because it is work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can handle it on stage, you more than likely can make it in on stage, never mind for film. Because film is shorter pieces that might take longer to produce, but stage is live. You know, when you do it, your performance is your performance. And it could be different from night to night, but when you love it, you know, you get through those mistakes and still tell a story. And if people don't know what you've done wrong, then you really got it going on.
My God, that is so true because, you know, you, like you said, you do film, you make a mistake, cut, and you do another take. You can't do that on stage. I learned that because I remember there was one particular night where one of the actresses usually keyed off the other actor. And the other actor had literally a brain cramp where he just kind of jumped ahead a couple of lines and threw her off. But then he kind of backpedaled like, oh, wait, I left the part out and came back to cover that again. Totally messed her up. And it's funny because he was apologizing to her, but by the same token, she says, no, that's my fault. She says, because I should have just gone with it instead of going into a full-blown panic, which kind of worked for the part because it was a very emotional part where she was kind of losing it anyway. So it kind of worked for it. But, it worked.
But it happened.
She had this, she had this look of total horror on her face. Like, and then when he went back, she kind of knew where to pick up. And by the same token, there was another performance where, because I had been listening to the line so much, I kind of knew it. And I realized that one of the actors totally flew the line. But he kept going, and the other person that had an answer to him kept going, and no one knew. No one knew because they just they went with it. Amy has a great suggestion. She says she has a great tip. Come on to the Deborah Crosby Talent Quest TV show and be seen on My TV. That's a great show. It's local. It's on at 11 a.m. on Sundays on My TV. You can look at your local listings to find out what channel it's on. And Deborah Crosby, if you don't know who she is, you need to look her up. For those of us that are a little bit more seasoned, if you remember Community Auditions, it's still on, but it used to be on Sunday morning. Well, Deborah Crosby is Dave Maynard's daughter. So she kind of picked up the gauntlet where her dad did. So it's kind of cool. She has a lot of great talent, and actually she's the one that had the talent quest at the Hard Rock Cafe, which if you've never gone to any of them, you really should, because I'll tell you, to see someone get the opportunity to perform at the Hard Rock Cafe, which has state-of-the-art acoustics, state-of-the-art sound equipment, and all the electronics and the lights and the bells and whistles, I mean, this is a place where world-renowned people perform at, and to see local talent get the opportunity to go out there and sing their hearts out, it blew my mind. And I had the opportunity back in January, a year ago, to be a guest judge on their show. And, you know, I used to watch Community Audition. Loved it. Some people were phenomenal. Some people were, okay. You know, they didn't stink in my book, but they were okay. It wasn't anything to write mom about. So I really didn't know what to expect going in, you know, when I went there. Holy cow. When the first person opened their mouth, I went, okay, this is the winner. But then the second one came up. I'm like, okay, no, maybe this is the winner. It was like everybody that performed, Amy included, because she performed that night, blew me out of the water. It was just amazing. I mean, the talent that she recruits, and I'm talking all ages. It's not just adults. I mean, there was one little girl that I'm looking at her going, where is that music coming from? Because she has this amazing voice. So it was awesome. It was just an amazing thing. So if you want to check her out, Deborah Crosby Talent Quest TV show, you can go to Amy Mulquin's page on Facebook, or you can actually go to Deborah Crosby. She has a page on Facebook as well. Look her up and get information on her. And she has a website too. Amy, if you have the website, could you just throw it up in the chat room, and I'll make sure to get it out to everybody as well. Andy. Andy says, this is what I need to learn. Making a flub line part of the show is definitely a skill that I have not learned yet on this show. When I mess up, you guys know it. Yeah, because you have that dreaded dead space where, like, duh, what just happened? Lock and load is now an established popular saying because John Wayne flew his line. Lock and load, gentlemen. That is awesome. Awesome. Okay, so, Roderick, what amazing things do you have coming up in 2011 that we would want to be a part of?
Oh, my goodness. I will be competing in a Broadway, well, I probably should use the terms I use, music theater competition. The Boston chapter of the National Association of Teachers in Singing will be having a competition at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm entering into that so I could, go with my Broadway tunes. And it's kind of like an American Idol kind of thing for Broadway musical songs. So I'm going for that.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
That's
going to
cool.
be in Weston and at the end of February.
Weston at the end of February. Is there a website they can get information at for it?
I'm not sure yet, but I'm not sure those details. We're still at the beginning part, just getting prepared and all that type of thing.
That's awesome. I have a question
yeah.
in general. Roger, who's your idol? with you? Who do you look up to? Who do you emulate when you perform?
Oh, my goodness. I often joke about Denzel Washington. I said, you know, when he retired, somebody's going to have to fill in for him.
I went, oh, he said Denzel.
Someone's going to have to fill in for him when he retires, if he retires. So that's kind of like a goal I have right now.
That's awesome. I tell you, Denzel, oh, man. You know, I adore my husband. He is the sweetheart of my life, but we jokingly said, because he said to me, he's like, it was funny, Mel Gibson was in town filming, and I got the chance to work on the set with him. And then he says to me, oh, he's like, if Mel Gibson threw you some lines, you'd probably dump me for him. I was like, no, but if Denzel Washington was around, I think he'd be in trouble. I don't know, there's just something about him so charismatic. Like, his smile just lights up the room, and not to mention he's a phenomenal actor. It's just one of these people that just doesn't know how to make a bad movie. He's been in a lot of bad movies, but he doesn't know how to make a bad movie, if that makes sense. Like, he can make the worst movie be good, you know, at least what he's doing in it. Okay,
right.
So Mountain Man, I have a guess of, wait, hold on, Chinese food or breadsticks?
Excuse me?
Chinese food or breadsticks for your favorite food?
No, sorry.
Nah, double no. Amy, awesome. She says, anyone interested in appearing on the show can email her a video. And it means a video of you performing, not standing there going, duh. I actually had that happen. That's why I'm mentioning. I know it sounds funny, but I had someone ask me, wow, if they could be on the show. And I'm like, yeah, we need to have, you know, some of your music or a video. And they send me a video of them talking to me. I'm like, eh, no, not what I was looking for. It was funny. It was really funny. It was one of these things that you would want to put on YouTube.
Yeah.
But the video said, I want to know how to be on your show. I'm not kidding. That was a true story. That's the video that I got.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
Yes,
now, I have a question for one of our guests that's in our chat room.
Okay.
Because they said that they ordered out.
Yes.
Okay. And I wanted to ask them, what did they order out for?
Oh, why, you hungry? You think she's going to share? No. I don't think she's going to share.
Who knows? They might.
Is welling up.
She's like, I'm not sharing my food. I wouldn't share my food. I'm a grub. Just like, no, don't touch my food. Amy is saying,
so you can't have your favorite meal right now, so you're going to get a little taste of something else in the studio, huh?
I know. Oh, I know. I'll tell you one thing. My son's funny. Everybody teases him that the reason he gained some weight was because his wife is pregnant twice. You know, they had babies. But he says, no, it's moving to Philly. I love the food in Massachusetts. Do not get me wrong. There's a lot of great restaurants. But holy cow, Philly, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Their food is just phenomenal. And they don't understand what a small portion is.
Oh,
you
no,
order
not at
small,
all.
Oh, man. Their food is just to die for. Like, I don't think I've had a bad meal ever. Anywhere I've gone, it's been incredible. Just unbelievable. Let me get back real quick to Amy. Amy says that, okay, so if you're interested in appearing on the show, you can email her a video at amy.moquin, M-O-Q-U-I-N, @talentquesttvshow.com. That's amy.moquin, M-O-Q-U-I-N, @talentquesttvshow.com. Or you can find her on Facebook and the show pages on Facebook as well. So that's how you can and make sure the video represents your talent. Amy, you're still listening. Can you just send us a quick blurb? What kind of talent are you looking for specifically? And I can let our listeners know. And she says, and you send, Amy says, send her the information for this Broadway competition, which sounds great. Andy,
okay.
Sunflower seeds, really, dude? That's my favorite. That's all. Okay, that's me. I'm the one leaving the piles of sunflower seeds everywhere.
You're always leaving the seeds behind you so we can always find you there, ordinary woman.
Oh, my gosh, it's so bad. I have to I am such a tomboy at times, and I don't even realize it. Well, you know, I was a cop. I was in the guard and all that. So, and I've always been around guys, like my brother.
And thank
12
you
years old.
For your service.
Yeah, thanks. But the thing is, it's funny because I can dress up, but sometimes I forget how to act. And it was funny
because
a few years.
I've seen
really
it firsthand.
Oh, man. It's
oh,
like,
no.
You know, wow. Mhm. It's like, wow, she looks great. You know, the heels and the dress, next thing you know, I'm climbing a tree kind of thing, you know, really bizarre. And all of a sudden I'm like, I don't think I should be doing this in heels and a dress. But it was funny. My husband was, we were looking to buy a car, and we were at a car dealership. Now, I just got out of work, so I'm decked out because I had a lot of meetings with, city officials or whatever. So I was looking Miss GQ. You know, I had on my cute little dress and my heels, makeup, the whole bit. Well, on the way to look at the car, I discovered a bag of sunflower seeds in the trunk that one of my boys had left. So I absentmindedly was eating sunflower seeds, not thinking anything about it. And I'm like, you know, and I'm out there. We get to the car dealership, and we're looking at cars, and my husband's looking at me. He's laughing. I still haven't caught on. And now the car salesman comes over, and he's looking at me, and I'm answering back to him. Unbeknownst to me, because I'm in my own little world where they love me and understand me, I'm spitting out these shells as I'm talking to the man. And not only that, am I spitting them out, I am like going to town, like pew, trying to beat my record to see how far away I can get it.
Oh my goodness.
And what kind of vehicles were we looking at?
Oh, we're looking at high-end cars. So it's like, you know, yes. So it's like, I look the part. Here's my husband dressed up in a suit. I'm looking the part, got my jewels on. But every time the man says something to me, I'd be like, yeah, and
oh, my goodness.
You think you might have been a little distracted?
Just a little bit. It was so funny, too, because the salesman's face, like, he was looking at me like, he didn't know what to do. Because usually in this, you know, car salesmen have this kind of divide and conquer kind of thing where if they can get the wife to go, I want this car.
Yes.
They know they have a sale. And I was.
And I hope it wasn't. I hope it wasn't a truck.
No.
Or some sort of a.
Oh, truck gosh. No, if it had been a truck,
a
I would have fit it right in. No, if it had been a truck, I would have fitted right in. And I'm like, yeah, she's cool. She's spitting out sunflower seeds. Let's take her for a ride, and we'll give her a shotgun rack in the back.
it's
so funny. And the thing is, the guy is like, he's looking at me confused. Now, I'm looking at the salesman like, there's something seriously wrong with this man. What is up with him, right? Because I'm looking at him like, why is he staring at me? So he walks off to do something, and then my husband looks at me, and he goes, really, honey? Really? And I'm like, what? He's like, would you stop spitting out the shells? I went, oh, my God. And then I looked down, and there's like a trail of sunflower seeds where we had been walking. I felt like the most ghetto person in the world. I was like, I cannot believe I was doing that. Now I want to go pick up the shells, and my husband's like, no, better cut your losses. Just put them away, and we'll pretend it never happened.
Oh, my God. Too funny.
And the reason why I said that, Roderick,
mm-hmm.
is for those who have been on the show in our chat rooms and stuff, a lot of them know that I have a physical disability and I'm physically challenged. And so I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So that's why I said I hope it isn't a truck or something of that nature, because for a lot of our listeners, I have a hard time getting into high-wheeled vehicles.
Oh, my God. Poor mountain man. Yes, poor mountain man. Every time he gets into my truck, it's like he's doing, like, ride aerobics. Like, he has to, like... He's got it down to a science, too. I mean, here he is, and he's Mr. Independence. Mm-hmm. I can handle this. Not only does he open the back and put his wheelchair in the truck by himself, he, you know, goes around and gets himself into the front seat, and I'm sitting there going, I'm tired just looking at him. You know, I feel bad when I go pick him up in my truck. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I feel so
bad.
It's
like an extra project just to get in.
Yes, that's
but,
what he said. He's like, are you kidding me? He's like, I'm sweating.
Well, at this point, Roderick, I was at a Thanksgiving Day feast with her family.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this year. And
oh, my goodness.
I like her husband. Her husband is awesome. He comes in this car that is low to the ground, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Nice,
him
nice,
and I
right?
had a. I'm sorry?
That was nice, I'm sure, to see a low car.
It was great to see this low to the ground vehicle. It was
correct.
Much easier to get into than the truck that they have.
Yeah,
and
climbing
so
Mount
that's
Everest.
Why, yes, climbing into Mount Everest. But unfortunately, within the last couple of years, and one of the reasons why we took our hiatus was because I had a few procedures done.
Oh,
and,
didn't realize.
And unfortunately, I cannot do what she has said now anymore. So
now,
she is going to have.
No, and the worst thing is, like, this is the kind of friend I am, which is why I really need to work in the friend department. It's like, I know this. And every time I go pick them up, I'm driving up in my truck, and then I, like, dang it. And every time, and it's funny where my husband, he sees Chris a lot, but he doesn't give him rides as much. My husband's like, oh, I'm bringing the low car so Chris can get in easier. I'm like, thank you.
Oh, he thinks about it. Oh, my goodness.
Small. Yeah, he does. He thinks about it.
He gets it.
He gets it.
He does get it. But I love Charlie very much. She's an awesome, awesome person.
Aww,
and that's why I think
you.
Our friendship has gone so well.
Except for the part that I remember one time I picked him up and we were going to go, I don't know if you remember this, Chris. I was going to pick him up for a job interview. So here comes my man, Chris, all decked out. He's got his tie and his shirt. And my poor man, by the time he got up in that truck, he was sweating like he
just oh, my goodness.
So bad.
It was a workout. Just get in the truck.
Yeah, he's looking at me like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. The guy was, like, all sweaty by this. He's like, and he's funny, Chris says to me, right, Chris? You're like, as if I wasn't nervous enough already, and now I'm sweating even more. I was like, oh, man. Anyway,
oh, boy.
Real quick to our listeners, Amy gave me some great information. She said, for the Deborah Crosby Talent Quest, all talents, they want dancers, singers, ventriloquists, musicians, mimes, poets, actors, comics. I may even take you if you can bump. If you can burp an entire Shakespeare sonnet. Andy, I think we found your talent, my man.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, please. Not a Shakespeare sonnet? I might be able to pull something out of the hat.
Oh, man. I think I should have heard Shakespeare go, what? They're going to do what to my sonnets? I don't think so.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, guys. Everybody's in agreement that I'm awesome. Obviously, I've never had to pick you up and give you a ride because then you'd have a different opinion.
I have
a great question. If anybody in the chat room wants to jump in and answer, do so, because we would love to hear what you have to say. But as long as you're a man of the world, you might be able to know, and we can get some feedback from you, Mountain Man, as well. I have one of our chatters asking questions. He's like, why do you think people, young people at the age of 21 struggle with knowing who they are?
Wow, that's a good question.
It's an awesome question.
Well,
that's a very interesting question.
I think people at that age are so busy trying to be like their friends instead of trying to be who they are that it becomes a struggle. When you try to match your friends and who they are, it's more important for you to be who you are and have confidence with that. I think that's where the struggle lies.
That's so true. And, you know, it's funny because one of the things I noticed, it was funny because my husband's the one that brings this up. He's like, kids nowadays, have this thing about I want to be original. I want to be my own person. But then they go out and do what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
So how original are you? I mean, if you go out and you spend every penny you have to dress a certain way or act a certain way or do certain things because that's what everybody else is doing, where's the originality? And one of the things that I like, I know some people might think it's corny, but there's the campaign ad, public ad, called AboveTheInfluence.org. Love it. Because it really tells you that you need to be able to be above the influence of stuff that just isn't good for you or it just isn't you. The reality is one of the greatest things I've heard is that if you don't believe in something or stand up for something, you will fall for anything.
Yes.
And that's very true. And it's very difficult to do. I'll be the first to admit it's very tough to be able to stand up and say, this is who I am, this is what I do, and if you want to be my friend or you want to be in my life, you need to accept that and be able to stand by that. Not be afraid of, oh, my gosh, I'm going to lose my friends, I'm going to lose this or whatever. It's tough. Now, Andy has a great comment. He says, because there isn't the same family structure there that used to be where people had more models at home of what to be like. Very true. Charles Barkley, very abrasive when he was in the NBA. A lot of people criticized him, but one of the most profound things he said, and I love him for this, is it is not my job to be a role model to your kids. That is your job. And how true could that be? Here are people saying, oh, this guy is a bad influence. Well, he's a basketball player. Paid money to take a ball and throw it into a hoop. That's the extent of what this person is being paid for. And here you are criticizing him because, okay, he swore, he did this, he did that, whatever it is that he did that you thought was on your child. And the reality is, very true. You should be the influence on your child. Now, I have a little bit of a say in this because I didn't have that at home. I had a mother, but it wasn't what I would consider a role model. So this is where we need to be able to reach out and find role models. And for me, I know it sounds weird. My role models were my school teachers. My middle school teachers are the reason why I've done 90% of the things that I've done. It wasn't because of the influence I received at home. It wasn't because of any role models that I had. It was these teachers that took an interest and actually were the type of role models that I needed in my life and that they cared enough to reach out to me in a way that I wanted to be like them. So
yeah,
it's the thing
and they actually
cared
for you.
Yes, exactly. Amy, great comment. She says, stand up for what you believe, even if it means you stand alone. And that is so true. And Mark, hi, Mark. How are you, sweetie? Love Mark. Mark actually, I love Mark. I used to teach criminal justice. I've done it all. I used to teach. See, wasn't I a great teacher? I can't even talk, and I was teaching people. What the heck?
You're an awesome teacher.
Actually, I love teaching. I think it's like one of the greatest professions in the world. I love it. I think teaching is so awesome. But the thing for me was that I was teaching criminal justice at Lincoln Tech, and Mark was actually one of my students. Loved him. And Mark is another one that he's such a great example, and I'm going to make him blush because I remember the first day Mark was in my class, and I'm going to probably embarrass him for sharing this story. And I actually had a person that's in charge of, you know, just making sure things are going good for Mark or whatever, say to me, do you think Mark has what it takes make it in this class? I said, okay, I've had the kid in my class 2 hours, so talk to me at the end of the week. And they did, and what blew me away about Mark is that you see this quiet, shy little boy. I call you a little boy because I know you're in your 20s, but, you know, that's how I see you because you're like one of my boys. And when I saw the depth of what he knew, his work ethic, his knowledge, his tenacity towards accomplishing things, it really blew my mind. Like, he was one of my top students. And the thing is that, and again, we talked about this in the last show where people with autism are sometimes lumped in with people with retardation and being slow. Mark has a bit of a speech impediment, very minute, but people underestimate him. They say, well, he can't talk right, so he must be stupid, he must be slow. Trust me, Mark is none of these. And that was one of the things that it was a lesson for me, because in reality it showed me that you can never judge a book by its cover. Because I'll tell you, those waters ran deep. Very true. So, and it's funny, we've been friends ever since, and he's just an amazing kid. I love him. He's actually going to college now. Yeah, showing them people, right? They're like, oh, you'll never, are you serious? Are you kidding me? He was one of my top students. He actually had perfect attendance. He actually got a couple of awards and stuff upon graduation, and now he's going to college to get his degree. And I think he would be an asset to anyone that hires him and gives him a job, because he's just an amazing person.
That's awesome.
And the thing is, yeah, it is. It's very awesome, and it just goes to show that you never know what people have to offer. Like, in your case, it's funny to me because we've talked, and, I mean, I saw the actor, I saw, you know, the... And then you have this military background, and you have this singing background, and these acts. So there's all these facets to you that are just kind of make the whole. And Andy has a very good point. Andy says that between the time he was 18 and the time he was 21, he was a different person every year. And I think that's very true.
Yeah, I look at it in the sense that I'm constantly growing, and I'm on a journey, and it's not over. So it's not so much about the destination, it's about getting there. So
that is so true.
I keep going.
You have to. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes we don't realize that we've changed. And I, for me, this 2010 was a reflection year because, like I said, I spent a lot of time with family. I have a family member that's going through an illness, so I've, you know, been around a lot more with that family member and their kids. And one of the things that got me was that I was married very young, had my kids very young. Patience was not something that was ingrained into me. Never saw it, never had a positive role model about how to raise kids and all that. And me, it was missing, it was like a lot of trial and error for me when I was raising my kids. And I feel bad for my oldest because I totally, they were like my guinea pigs. You know, they were the ones that I did everything wrong on until I kind of got it better and better with the younger ones. But one of the things that gets me is the interaction I see with my son and his wife with their kids. It just blows my mind because you can see that they were able to take some of the good things that I might have had or their dad might have had, and they were able to get rid of the stuff that wasn't so good, and they built on it. And for me, on the other side too, it's funny. I almost wish that the knowledge and the experience you have as a grandparent, it would be so cool if you could have that when you have kids, because you would just be the best parent in the whole world.
That would be huge.
Don't you think, Roderick? Because you'd be like the best parent in the whole world. I mean, you would be like parent of the year if you had that.
But, you know, as a parent, you're still learning as you're going along as a parent. But like I say, if you had that experience right up front, oh, my goodness, it would be phenomenal.
It would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, I was sitting on the – it's funny. I was sitting on the desk on the step with my grandson because he had he has a little brother, 8 months old. And my oldest grandson, he's rough. He likes to wrestle. And sometimes he tries to do that with his little brother. He can't do that yet. So it's funny because, yeah, exactly. He's like, what do you mean I can't toss him around? Because he's only 8 months old. He can't do that yet. Yeah. Give him another year. He's probably going to be bigger than you. So you'll be the one running away from him kind of thing.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Oh, I know, because this kid's a beast. But the thing that got me was I was sitting on the stoop. Explaining this to him. And it was funny because I remember how I used to deal with stuff before. We'd be more like, leave your brother alone, go to your room, you're punished. But there was never any explanation as to this is the reason why you shouldn't do that.
Growing up, I always wondered about the why part, but I never got it.
Exactly. Exactly, and that was the thing with me. And it's funny that even though I was always looking for the why, I never took the time to give my kids the why. So to see that on the other end, it just blows my mind. And Infamous Angel, she has a good comment here. Says, why is it that parents nowadays pressure their children to work full-time when it is not easy? This is a good question, because and there's an added part to it. It's very difficult. I don't know. And Roderick, you can comment to this, and even Mountain Man. Is it me, or does it just seem like it's harder for young kids nowadays?
It is harder for young kids nowadays because they have to look up to so many people in so many different ways.
Right.
It's, It's stress. I think there's a lot of stress out there. Not so much just from their friends, but you know, you got the society, and never mind. There's a material pressure as well, you know, because everyone's expected to get the next new phone and the styles, and you know, there's so many expectations that are placed on people as they're growing up now, and it wasn't always that way. You know, the only expectation you probably had, you know, in my day was like from your parents, and if anything, that was about it. You know, and maybe your friends, and that's probably the extent. But nowadays, you got expectations all around you, and you know, where do you go, and who do you listen to?
Yeah, it's a lot of peer pressure.
It's very true. Yeah. And the other thing that I noticed, because like I said, I've had the opportunity to be an observer in my son and his wife's life, which is kind of cool because, it's, you know, how they say you never really know anybody till you live with them. And obviously the person that he is now is not the person that used to live with me, totally different person. And it seems to me that, I don't know, even financially, it's like everything is so much more expensive. It's like even getting an apartment is difficult. I mean, literally they have you jumping through hoops. I mean, I remember as a young kid, my mom wanting to move, and I literally remember seeing a for rent sign, going there, looking at the apartment, giving the guy some money, and moving in the next day. I actually remember that.
Wow.
Nowadays, it's like credit checks and references, and I understand why, but it's just so much added pressure. And it's funny, you were talking about the materialistic aspect of it. True, there is. It's like kids nowadays, it's all this competition to, I don't know, I think as a society, we're just so very materialistic that we have to have the latest toys, and I hate to say
exactly.
It a lot. And I don't know, Roderick, I don't know if you feel this way. Don't you notice that sometimes nowadays it's coming more from the parents than actually from the kids? Like the parents set that standard of what the kids should or should not do or have, and then kind of force that on the kids.
Well, you know, I don't know that how – I think I agree with you, but it's more a matter of, you know, I would say that the parents didn't get a chance to experience all of what they had expected, so they're going to expect their kids to do what they didn't do, you know.
Right.
And my thing with my own kids was I just wanted them to learn how to think and be independent and so they can make their own decisions as opposed to – I don't know, what should I do now, Dad? I don't know, what should I do now, Mom? You know, they don't have the ability to be critical thinkers, and if they can be, I feel like as a parent they've accomplished their goal. Not so much, well, you need to have a house, you need to have a car, you need to have four kids, you need to have, you know, that kind of pressure is just too much.
Yeah.
You know?
It is.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned that because I actually wrote a story in my blog about that where it blew my mind. Like, these kids talk about being overscheduled, and I am a firm believer that kids need to be kept busy in order to be productive and not get themselves in trouble. But it's ridiculous when it gets to the other point. I mean, I remember listening when I used to volunteer at my son's middle school. I remember kids saying, oh, my gosh, if I don't get a scholarship in basketball or baseball, whatever, I'm never going to go to college. I'm like, seriously? You're in fifth grade. You know what I mean? And the other thing that blew
my
mind was that,
yeah,
a little bit, you know, and the other thing that blew my mind was that they actually did a study that kids nowadays, kids that are late middle school and early high school are the highest rising number of sports-related injuries because they have what's called repetition injuries because they're playing year-round. Like when you and I were growing up, yeah, you know, when you and I were growing up, it was like, you know, you had basketball season, you had football, you had baseball, you have softball, it rotated, and then, you know, soccer or whatever.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the summers to just be a kid. And nowadays, that's not the case. If once they decide that they make them play year-round. I mean, they have fall ball, they have everything. So it's just not smart. And I remember my son was doing that where he was on a few teams, and it's like, are you kidding me? Like, he pitched 2 days ago, and this coach is trying to make you pitch. He knew you pitched. And then he's going to get the guilt trip on you. It's like, dude, the kid's 13. Are you serious? You're going to have him give himself an injury, you know, that's going to bother him later on for a small, you know, league game or whatever. So the reality is that kids need that break, not only physically but mentally. And
yes.
I have a great comment here. Amy says this. She says, I'm a different person than I was a week ago. If we don't learn and grow from every life experience, that we are missing out on the point of life. We can only hope that we take the right lessons away from each experience. Very true. Very true. Amy, I love that comment. Because one of the things that's so true about it, and I, my son, too, one of them, he used to say to me, I made all these mistakes. You know, I have all this stuff I did wrong. It's only a mistake, and it's only wrong if you didn't learn from it. If you didn't learn from it, then you're going to keep making that same mistake, and this stuff's going to keep happening to you. But Amy's 100% right. Whenever we go through a challenge or something bad happens or we mess up, there's always a do-over. We always have the opportunity to say, okay, I screwed up, let me get this right again.
Exactly. And I even like Mark's comment too, Charlie. I even like his comment because his comment is so true too. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the let me start over here. If you think about it,
do-over.
If you think about it, if you think about our lives.
He's getting the hang of it. Yeah, it's a new mouth. He's getting the hang of it.
If you think
about it. I love you, right? Yeah.
We have been brought up to act the way that our parents have.
Right.
If that makes sense. I mean, you're your parents' offspring. So, however your parents were treated when they were growing up, they're treating you as they were growing up.
Treated.
Right.
And I really like his comment. Mark's comment was, where is it? Give me 1 second. Bear with me. Some people don't have parents to help them make decisions of their own. And I can really relate to that, okay, because of, and I've talked about this in one of our segments a long time ago when we first started up our show, is I was a person that really didn't get to grow up with my own biological parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really relate to that question, and I can understand that question. And to be honest, I have been around town. I've seen how these young parents treat their kids.
Right.
And sometimes I want to even just sit there and speak up and say, hey, you shouldn't treat your so-and-so like that.
Right.
Or even their friends. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because I've had so much of my own life experience.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to treat my – if I had kids, I wouldn't want to treat my kids the way that I've seen some of these other young parents treat their kids.
Yeah, really.
Right. Yeah, see, and Roger can probably comment to this, too. It's that, you know, some is such alert behavior because you've never seen anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the things that they are exposed to, you know, if that exposure is limited, they only have one mindset, and that's the only way you're supposed to live and act and behave. But if they have some variety or some exposure to other experiences, never mind other points of view, they could mold a certain concept or have their kids to appreciate more than just one way that something can be done. So a person can realize that they honestly have choices in life and that they can actually make some decisions as opposed to just existing on what someone else said is, you know, on how things should be done. They can actually live and choose and appreciate their life even better from their own choices, as opposed to just, well, that's what mom and dad did it, so I got to do the same thing.
That is so true, Roderick, and it's funny. We have a couple of comments in the chat room that make sense. Like Amy, I love this woman. She says, I've seen many parents who live vicariously through their children, and it does make her sick. It says, the sports especially. They want their children to achieve what they could not, even if they don't enjoy it. It's funny. She says, the day my son hates baseball is the day that he is done. And I've always noticed that because I've coached soccer a lot. mean a lot. I've coached for over 12 years and, you know, have a couple of championships under my belt, know a lot about what I'm doing. And I'll tell you, the one time I was at a loss to what to say to this little girl was because this little girl was very shy. You could tell she had a little bit of talent somewhere in there, hadn't been developed yet. She was a little heavy set. And I was giving her some pointers, and she said to me, well, you know, I'm only here because my mother thinks I'm fat and I need to lose weight.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
and
boy.
Said,
how about that for encouragement?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I said to her, but, you know, as a coach, I'm like, oh, but no, no, your mom really doesn't think that. She's like, no, that's exactly what my mother told me. It wasn't even like she was thinking that's what her mom was thinking or that's what her mom might have thought. No, that's exactly what her mom said. You're going to play soccer because you're fat and you need to lose weight. I went, are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, my goodness. So many words. That's terrible. Oh, wow.
It was horrible. It was horrible. And then I went on this quest to try to, you know, show this little girl. And as a matter of fact, she wound up being one of my better players. And then on the same token, Amy's comment, I remember this guy screaming at this little boy every game because he didn't do this right, he didn't do that right, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm sitting there going, you do realize that child is only 10 years old. You do realize we're in a city league, it's not the World Cup, you know. And it's just the fact that, and the little boy was miserable. And what made it worse was the fact that the little boy originally really loved soccer. But this man literally sucked the joy out of it for him, and he never wanted anything to do with it.
Yeah, really. You know,
yes.
Let me get out of this sport. This is not any fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And on the other hand, like when Mark was saying that he didn't have any parents involved to help him make decisions, sometimes those kids really show you how resilient they can be. Mark's the perfect example because if anybody had an excuse to say, well, I didn't do anything because of X, Y, and Z, I didn't have parents, I'm sick, that, they would have the perfect excuse. Chris is another one. They never use that as an excuse. They're like, nope, this is, I can do this. Yeah, I can't do this, but I can definitely do that. And another thing that Andy said, which I think is good, he says, there's always a generation gap. Things change, and the previous generation doesn't always understand the younger one. Gets frustrated,
right.
But remember, your parents... Yeah, and it says, but remember, your parents are not saying these things to make you mad or because they hate you. It's because they love you. Now, the other thing is that this is very true, but one of the things that I find nowadays is that this term is funny. They call it the helicopter generation, where the parents are always hovering. It's tough because I know Andy could probably attest to it. And Roderick, too. Did you notice, Roderick, when you were growing up, there was more of that trial and error, that kind of like, okay, you go out to the real world, try it, see what happens kind of thing. So you were given the opportunity to figure out some things for yourself.
Yeah, that is true. You know, in a sense, you know, that kind of like helped me to develop my own thinking as opposed to just following or, you know, stay in the bumpers here. Don't go outside these lines. You know, it gives you a chance to explore who you are by trial and error. I certainly did have that experience growing up.
Yeah, and that was something that for me too I had because it was kind of cool to be able to say, okay, definitely not doing that again, or yeah, that was cool kind of thing, and to get to learn, it helped me be able to get a sense of accomplishment as opposed to like infamous Angel was saying every time she turns around, her parents are saying, this is what you have to do.
Right.
And there's
right.
a difference between having to do and need to do. Like, if my child comes to me and say, okay, I want to be a sportscaster, what do I need to do? Okay, you need to go to school, this is what your major should be, blah, 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 internship, whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's up to them to take that advice. I can't do it for them. I can't. And that's why I love Amy's comment, because the reality is if you wanted to play X, Y, and Z, or if you wanted to be an actor, or if you wanted to be a doctor, then you know what? You're not dead yet. You can still do it. Stop shoving that down your kid's throat because it's going to suck the life right out of your child.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it looks to me like they want the parents want their kids to grow up and be just like them. That's how I see some of these situations. It's like, and how they treat their kids. It's like, you want them to grow up and be just like you? Why not give them their own opportunity to grow up and be what they want to be.
Right.
Not only, yeah, and you know, it's funny too, because that's the reason, again, when I was reading the study, because I was doing a paper at school, when it was talking about the sports-related injuries, the other thing it was saying was that that's why there's such a huge increase in kids on antidepressants and all these mood-altering drugs, because stressed out of their mind. I mean, I remember seeing these kids, like, literally stressed out of their mind. You thought they were getting ready for the bar exam, and these are kids in middle school, because it's so much pressure.
Yeah, and it's too young to be worrying like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on now. The reality is, come on, guys, if you have a kid that plays sports, the reality is one out of 100,000 will make it to even be looked at the professional level. That doesn't mean they're actually going to make, you know, the top tier, the, you know, the big show, as they call it in baseball. They'll have the opportunity to some extent. So the reality is that, yeah, you want to gear your child to that, but geez, don't fuck the life out of it in the meantime. Let them enjoy it. Let them say, you know what, it's fun. Like, I love Ricky Henderson. He's a famous baseball player. He's got to be in his 50s, and people might not realize that he's still playing in the minor league level. And people say to him,
wow,
why are you still playing? Yeah, exactly. He says, because I love it. That's why he plays. It's not for the money. It's not for the fame. He's like, I love it. He's like, and the day that I can no longer play at the minor league level, I will go find a beer league. I will go find some, you know, senior citizen league. I will find something, because I will play baseball to the day I die.
Yeah, so he's just going to continue because he loves it.
Exactly, as opposed to because my mom and dad said so. So that's the thing that's very important. And it's kind of all ties in because of the fact that one of the things that I notice in the entertainment industry is that a lot of young actors really get sucked into that whole click party kind of scene. And I'll give you a perfect example. Lindsay Lohan is a perfect example of that. Here's a child that has so much talent, so much ability, and she's only in the news now because of drug issues, being arrested, blah, 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 whatever's going on in her life, because they just don't understand, this is who I am, and I got to stick to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult. And by the same token, it's very difficult when you don't have that proper support, parents, because one of the hardest things, and it's funny, my husband and I say this to our kids, and at first our kids took it wrong. We were being jerks. But I remember we would talk to them when we were having issues, and I said, listen, I'm not your buddy. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. And at first, listen, it sounds like, wow, you're being an ass. But I'm not. If I just
right.
want to be buddies with my kids, I can't be a parent. Because I can't be buddy one minute and parent the next, because then they're never going to take you serious. And it's going to create problems. And one
yeah,
of the things
you know,
that
that's confusing, actually.
It's very confusing, because one minute you're joking around with them, and then the next minute they say something you don't like, and you're disciplining them. Okay, which is it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I come up with that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, too, that I try to incorporate, and I'm hoping that I'm doing, is that I tell my kids, look, when you become adults, I am no longer your parent. I hope to be able to be your friend, maybe a mentor or a confidant. But I can't be your parent continuously telling you what to do or doing things for you 24/7, because otherwise
mm-hmm.
I'm stunting your growth. There's just a disconnect in that area. And by that same token, it's funny because one of the things I tell my daughter-in-law all the time, because I've been with them for the last few months, I was like, would you please let me know if I become a pain in the butt? Because the last thing I want to do is be the mother-in-law from hell sticking her nose where it doesn't belong.
Oh, yeah.
My mom
that
used
turns
to do
off
that.
People
oh,
in the heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. See, my mom used to do that 24/7. It used to drive me nuts. I was blessed, very blessed. Both my mother-in-laws were phenomenal ladies. Loved them both to death. They were just the greatest people ever. So I'm just hoping to kind of fall into that spectrum, because it's very difficult to keep that balancing act as a parent. Andy, I love this. My advice to parents would be, don't make kids do what you think the world needs. Get them to find out what makes them come alive, because what the world needs is people who come alive. Very true. It's funny because my daughter-in-law is a big proponent of that. I love this attitude that she has. That one of the things she says is, I don't want to break my kids' spirit. And I think that's awesome. Like, she doesn't like confining them. She doesn't like special, and she wants them to be able to explore the creativity and what they're about, and have them do what they love to do. And I think that's what we really need. We need more parents being that way.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Why can't Lindsay Lohan be like her sister, Ali Lohan, who you hear nothing about? Very true, Mark. Very true. I cannot believe the time. Can you believe it, Mountain Man?
I can't believe it either.
You guys rock. This has been like the best chat room we've had in a long time. I'm so excited to have you all there. I'm so grateful that you all came along. Roderick, oh my gosh, thank you so much for calling in. I tried to get you last week and you were tied up. Love it. Definitely have to have you back on the show. It's funny, I tell all my guests on the show that they have to send me a picture of themselves autographed so I can put it on my wall of fame. And
I think I've done that.
Oh, yes, you did. Roderick was one of my first. I have him up on the wall. He's like, I have three people, like the first three people on my show, and Roderick's one of them. So cool. I see his smiling face every time I walk into my house. I got to tell you something quick, Roderick. One of my boys walked in. He goes, who's that dude? Is he one of my uncles?
Oh, no.
Typical Latino family. I don't know, because I know that some of my African friends do that. If you have a cousin that's older than you, they automatically become your uncle or your aunt.
Yeah.
So my kids have a million of aunts and uncles, so it cuts the spectrum. It's not just, you know, Latino, they're Anglo, they're African American.
Okay,
or whatever.
Uncle Rod then, huh?
Yeah, that's why he says, is that my uncle? Well, might be. I don't know, but no, not that I know of.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wow. Mark, I have to give you a shout-out. Mark, by the way, we were just talking about him about the fact that not only is he on his way to his associates, he's actually going to be transferring to UMass Lowell. And he's actually, do you guys know this? He actually went to the Lowell Police Academy for Citizens. They have a program. They call it the Lowell Police Citizens Police Academy. And Mark actually went through it and did a great job on it. He's done a lot of things. Love Mark. He used to be one of my security people in the school. We actually set up the security thing, and Mark used to head it up. Andy wants to know if it's Japanese food. Andy says powdered toast. We got to give you a hint.
Okay, one more guess for me. I think it's lobster.
Ah, you got it.
What did I
get? Roderick, you rock.
Roderick got it. It's lobster. Mountain Man's favorite food is lobster, so Roderick is the winner.
I had to think
about
that long. Thank you. See, Roderick, you made work for yourself. Get that. You are now going to be a host on the show, so you got to figure out what your show's going to be, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to do, who your guests are going to be. I love it. See, we this is how we work, right? We're telling you it's a prize we're giving you away, but actually what we're doing is we're making less work for us and more work for you.
Oh, my goodness, too funny.
Well, yeah, Roderick, we're giving away. Rock. I was like, listen to this. Yeah, so lobster was the answer. Very good, Roderick. Wow, that's a good one. Guys, yes, go ahead.
And the next thing for the next show will be, what is my favorite TV show?
Oh, here we go.
See,
pretty soon we won't even be doing the show ourselves. We'll do the intro, and then we have everybody else, our contest winners, do the show. Isn't that awesome? Have everybody else do the work.
Oh, gee, sometimes you'd be a mentor now, huh?
I know. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Also want to let you guys know, any of you that are affiliated with any business or nonprofit or any type of organization, if you would like to get free advertising on our show, free advertising, all we ask is that you send us all your information and we will do give you a little ad spot. If you guys have an audio clip that is a commercial or whatever, we will play it. But on one condition, you have to make sure that you give us a shout out, make sure you recommend our show to your friends and your colleagues. Also, go to Facebook. We have our new show page. I feel so special. We have a page, Diamond in the Rough. Look us up. Become our friend. Like us. Recommend us to your friends. So that's the deal. If you can get some of your friends to like us and listen to us, we will be more than happy to advertise for you for free. I'm not a new man, and I really want to advertise to somebody that wants us to, as opposed to these people that go, no, stop mentioning my name, please. No.
Oh, Charlie, what are we going to do with you?
Hey. Anyway, thank you to everybody for being on this show. Amy, make sure you email me, hit me up. I want your music. I want your bio. I want your information. I want you on my show. Roderick, get your stuff ready, man. Man, we're going to have the Roderick Hour. Love it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I thought it was 15 minutes.
Right? No.
It is a 15 minute.
I don't know. We might. Shh, quiet. We're trying to milk it for the hour. Thanks,
well,
love, man.
We'll talk about that. Too funny.
Oh, man. Anyway, thanks to everybody that was here. Real shout-out. I'm going to switch over languages. Los que tengo familiares en Costa Rica, mucho placer tenerlos. Como siempre, Jeannie, Joyce, Jocelyn, Mozart, Jonathan, Alberto, la esposa de Jonathan, mucho placer. Gracias por estar con nosotros. Espero que regresen el jueves. I was just telling them that I'm so grateful that they joined us and that I can't wait to have them back next Thursday. Next Thursday, I am going to be traveling. I'm going to be in the air, and Mountain Man, I'm going to get him some help. I'm actually going to get him a little co-host. I'm going to actually get Roderick to jump in there and help him out. You know, he got that voice, right, Roderick? You got the swagger.
I think I have that voice you might need for the show, yes.
Absolutely. So I'll email you and hit you up, because I think Mountain Man needs a co-host in that. I don't know why the pilots won't let me do the show in the air. You know?
I don't know either.
Yeah, it's like, why can't I just do it while I'm flying? They're like, no, can't do it. So, yeah, so next week I will be there, but Mountain Man and his guest host will be there as well. In the chat room, Amy, thank you so much, as always. Beautiful. Send me the stuff to Deborah Crosby and send me your stuff because I want to set you guys up on the show. Andy, get typing on that book. I'm going to have you talking about it. Andy's writing a book. I can't wait to let you guys know about it. Betty, Billy, my regulars, Bob, Gary, guest went 3282. Thank you so much. Infamous Angel, thank you for stopping by, girl. Love it. JJ and Mark, thank you, Mark. Love the fact that you stopped by. Hope you come back next week. Martin, Mary, and Music Man. Oh, did I miss somebody here? Hold on. Yes, Starlight. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. You're kind of in the tail end over there. So, anyway, guys, thank you so much. And I think.
You're welcome.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Roderick.
Mountain Man, they're already trying
Thank
to
you
guess your favorite shows in the chat room.
I know, and I'm not going to give any clues, and I'm not going to say anything until next week.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, Mountain Man,
you next week.
Mountain Man, let me know when you're going to have some lobster now.
Oh, I know, right? I'm coming. See that?
I'll let you guys know when I have the lobster.
There we go.
Sounds awesome. All right, guys, we got less than 3 minutes, so I want to seg it out with, of course, my favorite song, The Fighter. I wish my girl Shelby Netflix was here in honor of Marky Mark and the great movie that they made in Mold. It's kicking butt. Roderick, were you in that movie?
No, I wasn't. But I do have some friends that were in it, though.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was. I couldn't remember. I was in it, but not really. I just spend most of the time talking to everybody.
Oh, boy. The last film that I was in was The Company Men.
Oh, that's right, The Company Man. That'll be coming out soon, so we'll have to keep an eye out for you. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Roderick, it's always a pleasure. Mountain Man, it's been a great time. Amy and everybody, Andy, Mark, and everybody else in the chat room, thank you so much for your love and your support. Any questions, comments, or concerns, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. You can see a message
seconds.
There. Yes, or you can go to, you can email me at ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com. And here, for everybody's enjoyment, is The Fighter. Have a good night. And remember, don't let anybody ever steal your dreams away. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands tight, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I'm just bracing, I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. Redemption stands before me, take rounds of glory. My people in the mill, man, they ain't noticed.
to make it global. Put my name in the books. I'm a blue collar man with a punishing hook. See the look in my eyes, cause there's a warrior coming. I got nothing to lose but what's in my stomach. No, it's grinding hard, but I'ma rise above it. Every punch, every breath, every snap of the wrist. Hey, yo, my whole entire world, calm down to this. I'm picking my shots, and you know I ain't about to miss. Every single drop of blood is a precious gift. And if I die right here, then the legend lives. So pound the mist, cause you know I ain't about to quit. I got my back against the ropes, I'm a warrior kid. I say, I don't think they're ready. I ain't gonna stop, no.